Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now, our pal Mike Rizzo, present GM of the Washington Nationals, presented by FH Fur. FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, the official plumbing partner of the Washington Nationals. Absolutely the best. What's going on, Mike?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hello, Mike.
You do anything this past week?
It was as crazy a week as I've ever had as a GM in my life. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, you traded 8 players and you cut a player. I mean, and I'm sure it was so hard, especially with some of the relationships you had with these guys. But, I mean, I couldn't believe it. We've never seen a sell-off with the Nats like this.
Yeah, well, I've never done it. I know that since 2009 when I took over. We've always been buyers at the deadline, with a few exceptions of kind of mixing of buying and selling. But, it's a process. It was an exciting process, but very, very difficult to do. You know what I mean? You got to look at this group, and with this group, we reached the highest levels that you could reach, and that's pretty cool. You want to take stock of what you have. You have to take a step back and systematically and realistically take a look at what you've got, where you're at, where the league's at around you, and we did that. We did a deep dive of what we were trying to do here, and we felt our best plan of attack was to move some of these players, get some good young exciting prospects, build our farm system from within like we have in the past, and kind of reboot this thing for a quick turnaround and to have another sustained championship run like we had the last 10 years or so.
Can you tell me how the process works? I understand with Max and Turner, I mean, those guys are superstars, so it's not hard to find teams that are interested. But can you tell me how the process works for some of the guys that you traded later before the deadline, the Josh Harrisons, the Jan Gomes, the John Lesters? Are you calling, are you reaching out to the team saying, hey, you interested in these guys? Or are they all calling you going, all right, what do you need for them?
It's a mixture. It really is. We're receiving a lot of calls. We were making some calls. You kind of see what fits what's team, and who's looking for a catcher that could help them down the stretch and that type of thing. So it's a mixture of both. You kind of do your due diligence on who needs what, and I think where a good fit is and what relationships you have with these GMs and that type of thing. I think it works out. It worked out terrifically this year, where we got to maximize some of our expiring contracts and really fill our system with some good young exciting players. And I say this with all sincerity. It was a very, very difficult decision to make, as you would imagine. And it was a tough week for the Nationals and the front office, me especially, not only the work that is involved in doing this amount of trades and that quickly is, we had the COVID thing to wrestle with. We had the off the field things to wrestle with, along with the trade deadline. So, tip of the cap to the front office. They were terrific. I couldn't have done it without them. And you know, we logged a lot of hours and a lot of time in that war room to prepare ourselves, you know, for the future of the Nationals.
Mike, what is the dynamic like between you and the players while the negotiations are ongoing with the other team? Do you keep them abreast of what's happening, or is it better not to because everything's so fluid? You know, a deal might not happen, something might fall through. What's that like? How involved is the player, if at all?
Well, certain scenarios are different. Max and I had some constant communication because he had the no-trade clause. He kind of controlled his destiny of where he wanted to go. So I was keeping him updated on what teams were interested, would he want to go there, and that type of thing. So in that particular case, when there's a full no trade involved, it's different than a normal trade. I like to communicate with the players. I'm close with all of them, and I think the players respect the fact that you are keeping them abreast of what's going on. But you're right; it's such a fluid negotiation, and there's several teams involved for each player that you know, you're kind of taking, you know, the most impactful deal that you can, you know, on each and every scenario. And so I think the communication is important. As soon as you're getting really close to a deal and you think that one's going to come to fruition, I contact the players and we say our goodbyes and sometimes in person. If I'm lucky enough to be there, I wasn't on this last road trip because of the trade deadline. So Huddy and those guys who were out with COVID, I couldn't say a personal goodbye to. So I talked to them at length on the phone, but some of them, Max and Trey and Gomes and Harrison, I did see in person because they were back at the ballpark.
Mike, anything you can't answer, just say no comment. But we talked about this after the trade regarding the Dodgers, and I think Chelsea actually talked about it. Maybe she tweeted about it. But can you say whether or not the Dodgers agreed to pay a certain percentage of the deferred money owed to Max?
Max's contract is probably the most difficult contract to explain. Is one of the most complicated contracts that I've ever done, and maybe one of the most complicated in the history of baseball. You know, with the deferments, the number of them, the types of them, the payoff times for them. So, they took on a portion of Max's contract, and we took on a portion of it, and it was. All that goes into what the return is and what the deal ends up being.
So they agreed to pay more than just the deferred money that was coming to them this year.
Yeah, like I said, it would take me three shows to even begin to explain to you what this contract is entailing.
Okay, I got you.
So why don't you talk about some of the guys in return?
Hold on real quick. One other question. Again, no comment if you don't want to answer. Did Max agree to a deal to the Red Sox?
Would he have agreed to a deal with the Red Sox?
Yes.
We never got that close to a deal with the Red Sox, so that was never a question that was posed to him.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so let's talk about some of the guys you got in return. We can start with the Scherzer Trey Turner deal. We got to see Josiah Gray. Talk about some of the prospects you got.
He looked good, by the way.
Yeah, he's a good looking young prospect. Very new to pitching. He's a great athlete. He was a position player in college, kind of new to pitching. We had our scouts see him quite a bit, he's a mid to upper rotation starter when it's all said and done. And we have to protect him, you know, going into it because he doesn't have a lot of innings under his belt as a pitcher. He's a bright, athletic pitcher with good stuff and a good feel to pitch and a great character, and I think he's going to be one of the stalwarts of our rotation for a lot of years to come.
So we saw you bring up Riley Adams yesterday. He's the kid you got in the hand deal, correct, from Toronto?
Correct.
Yeah. Are we going to see Ruiz?
Yeah, you will see Ruiz sometime this year for sure. We want to get him settled. In the organization. He's a kid that likes to be settled in before we pop him to different levels. but he's big league ready, and he's a guy that that we really focused on at the trade deadline when we turned our attention to the Dodgers. He was the prospect that we targeted along with JoJo Gray, and he was a big part of that Scherzer Turner deal.
And the Mason Thompson kid, I mean, he was throwing gas. He looked really good too. That's the kid you got from San Diego.
Yeah, he's got some great stuff, sinkers.
Yeah, we made that Hudson deal with the Padres, closer to the deadline. It was we thought that we got good value there. We got a good young reliever who's had a background of starting, and he's a power sinker guy. He reminded me of a lot of a Blake Treinen type of pitching package. You know, he's a big physical guy throwing in the upper 90s with heavy sink and a good breaking ball, and at a young age is come a long way. So and we also got a shortstop in that deal that is an exciting young player, 21 years old, and in A ball for us that we think has a bright future also. So that's the secret of these deals. And at one time, Trey Turner was just a prospect, that we traded for, in the minor leagues, and nobody knew about him until he burst on the scene, and everybody knows about him. So that's what these deals bring you. We traded one time way back in the day. We traded a pitcher named Matt Capps for a catcher named Wilson Ramos, who ended up catching in some All-Star games as a prospect. So that's what you're trying to accomplish in these deals, and our staff went out and tried to accommodate all the aspects of the trade deadline, and I thought they did a great job. Our scouts worked extremely hard this year in trying conditions, with the COVID and all that stuff. We didn't get a lot of scouting in last year, so we scoured the country and these organizations, thinking that we gave away a lot, but we got a lot in return, and we've got a blueprint in place that we're going to be contenders again for a very, very long time, and that's our plan. We never want to be one and done, win and leave, and have to rebuild. We went a decade of excellence. We were as good as any team in baseball, won as many games as anybody in baseball, except for a handful of teams. We won 4 division titles, a wild card championship, a National League championship, and a World Championship. This group did a hell of a good job for us. They'll be remembered forever, and we feel that the guys that we got in the last couple of drafts and the last couple of trade deadlines and this trade deadline will be the core of the next World Championship team that we have here, and hopefully we'll have another good 10-year run of excellence like we just came off of.
Mike, I'm just wondering your calculations when you get to the trade deadline, and maybe you can talk about if ownership is involved at all, when it comes to the fans. Because after you make all of these moves, I had some friends that went to the Nats-Cubs games, and they're like, we don't even know who's on the team anymore. And I'm sure that you're going to take a little bit of a hit attendance-wise, maybe in the coming months and maybe even next season, depending on what you do in the offseason. Is there a calculation at all as to losing star power? You lose Trey Turner, Max Scherzer, Schwarber. You're losing the big names there.
Yeah, I think that our fan base wants championship caliber players. I think that's what they're about. They're about winning, be it with Bryce Harper on the back of your jersey, or Max Scherzer or Adam Dunn back in the day. It's about winning. I think winning begets fans. I think that brings excitement. Championships bring excitement, and you have to have the right mixture of talent, character, and players to win championships, and I think that's what this thing is all about. And don't forget, Trey Turner was a prospect we acquired in a trade at the trade deadline in the winter meetings that became the player that everybody knows about. So hopefully, one of these players, the JoJo Grays or the Ruizes or any of the number of players that we got in this trade will become those players and be the core group of a championship caliber club that the fans want to see, and two, that the fans can be proud of bring us another couple championship flags on the flagpole at Nats Park.
Mike, the trade was the one that really surprised me and affected me. My daughters love Trey. I told you this, but I wanted to ask you about trading him in this deal. And we had heard through the media, and who knows what to believe, but we had heard that Trey wasn't a big fan of the West Coast and didn't want to move positions. Now, I don't know what the Dodgers are going to do once he comes off the COVID list. He may play short, but they got Seager there. Maybe he plays second. They're playing Mookie Betts at second right now for the last few games. Maybe he plays the outfield. I don't know. But was that talked about either with Trey or with the Dodgers? Was that just made up that he didn't approve going to the West Coast, that he wanted to stay closer to the East Coast?
That's news to me that he didn't want to go to the West Coast. I never had a conversation with him about it. So I wouldn't know if he didn't want to go to the West Coast or not.
Okay.
But he certainly the Dodgers certainly have a good problem to deal with. If you're looking for a position to play Trey Turner,
right.
He's the best shortstop in the game. So I would believe that would be fairly easy to find a spot for him to play. He's such a versatile athlete. He can do a lot of things, but this guy is you're getting one of the top 10 or 15, players in all of baseball. So I'm sure to figure out a place to play him, and he'll be extremely successful at that position.
I told the guys, I said, there's no way that Mike's going to sit back in the off season and just rebuild from prospects. They're going to be guys you go out and look for in free agency that are bigger names, because you don't like to sit there and rebuild and win 65 games for 2 or 3 years. I just don't believe you'll do that. And the free agent class is pretty big, especially at shortstop. So I don't know what you're going to do. I know you're not going to talk about it, but there's no way you're just going to sit there and just throw out 9 prospects next year.
Well, we've got a plan in place. We've got a blueprint to get us back to the championship caliber club that we're accustomed to here in D.C., And our staff's going to work diligently throughout this year and the off season to put a team on the field that the fan base can be proud of and wants to come and see. It's going to be exciting players and exciting times here at National Park. And again, we're here to win. And we've always been. Our ownership is aggressive. They're competitive. They want to win. I want to win. We've done it as good as anybody in baseball over my tenure here as the general manager, and we're going to continue to strive to put out the most competitive teams that we can, and something that the Nats fan will be proud of. So that's our goal, and ownership and I are lockstep in our blueprint on how to do this thing. I look at it this way, 10 years of excellence, there's no shame in taking a restock and taking a step back and to take 2 steps forward. And that's what our process is here. That's what our thoughts are. And we're with this trade deadline, we're one step closer to fulfilling, our obligation to put a terrific, entertaining team that the fans can be proud of.
All right, Mike, appreciate the time as always. Get your 8 hours of sleep tonight.
Thanks, Brett. Guys, I appreciate it. I haven't had 8 hours. I didn't have 8 hours of sleep the whole week last week, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Mike. That's Mike Rizzo, right, Nats GM, President of Baseball Operations. We put up a Junkies Poll of the Day brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Do you support what Mike Rizzo and the Nationals did by selling off some of their stars for prospects? Not many votes so far, because you just put it up like a minute ago. 73% yes.
Well, but you got to trust the guy.
Got to trust the guy. He's got a track record. They have a track record of winning.
They've got money to spend. I know that sounds weird with the learners, but the learners will go out and spend on some free agents. And this free agent class, especially with some of the infield positions, is really good. Pitchers, not so much. So I'm not sure if they're going to go out and try and get a pitcher. But he's going to go out and sign guys. They're not going to just throw out Soto and a bunch of prospects.
Well, I hate to say this. Strasburg's kind of a key, too. You need him to come back, especially without Max.
We didn't even talk about him, but you're correct.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we're going to give you the latest on Taylor Heinicke and what's happening with him at training camp. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. So every day we get these reports out of training camp. Mm-hmm. Who's shining? You hear about some of the position battles. Of course, every year it's about the wide receiver. There's right. always a glut of wide receivers. Who's going to make the team? But this year in particular, because the position's not established, people are wondering what's going on at quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick's the number one, but a big portion of the fan base fell in love with Taylor Heinicke. And we had him on the show shortly after he had that start in the playoff game against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, and he was excellent on the show. Mm-hmm. We had him on again.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
And people are really pulling for Taylor Heinicke. However, at least right now, at best, it's been an uneven training camp for Taylor Heinicke. We talked about him going to the podium and saying that he's struggling to throw to the left side. But yesterday, I think it was Matthew Paris, who's one of the beat reporters who's out of training camp all the time, said that he had a couple of balls, which should have been picks, which he threw right to defenders. Mm. What do you make of the Heinicke struggles? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines. Brought to you by the DC Lottery. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC. Do you chalk it up as, it's training camp, doesn't mean anything, let's see what happens in the preseason games? Or are you coming around to Jason's side, which is, he's Taylor Heinicke. He's a backup. You know, he's lucky to be in the league.
I'm pretty much in that camp. Because, look, we're talking about, at the end of the day, an undrafted free agent who's been a journeyman. He's bounced around in NFL training camps and had short stints with teams. He was playing, he was a reserve for the St. Louis Battlehawks in the XFL in 2020. Okay, this is not a guy with a classic NFL quarterback pedigree.
Correct.
Okay, he's a success story because he signed a deal with the Washington football team. They like him, obviously. But I think his ceiling is that he's gonna be a quality backup, and if you need a spot starter for a game or two or three, maybe he can get you through a patch where your starter's either underperforming or injured. I think to expect anything more out of Taylor Heinicke,
you're asking for too much.
Yeah, you're expecting too much.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that there are fans right now, and if you are one of these fans, give us a call, that still want to see Heinicke beat out Fitz?
I think there's a small subset because they can't get the playoff game where he performed very well. They can't get that out of their brains.
Right, right.
Like that's all they know of Taylor Heinicke, or all that they want to know about him. They want to see him at that elevated status where he's playing at his best.
But I don't think you can gloss over what he accomplished in that game.
Well, he had a very good game.
So against the Buccaneers, who, by the way, have a really good defense, mm-hmm. who shut down really good quarterbacks yep. on their way to winning a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay, they held Patrick Mahomes in check. They did okay against Aaron Rodgers. Arguably, the guy who had the most success against the Buccaneers during their Super Bowl run was Taylor Heinicke. He was 26 for 44 in that game for 306 yards, had the one touchdown pass, did throw a pick.
Ran for a
also
touchdown.
Had 46 yards rushing and a touchdown on six carries. He just showed grittiness.
He did.
He also showed elusiveness in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just remember, he's a smaller guy. They list him at 6'1", but he said he's probably not 6'1".
6'1", 210, yeah. Which means he's probably 5'11 and three quarters and 200 pounds.
He had a really good pocket presence.
Yes, he did.
And that's something that's really hard to... I think it's something that's really hard to develop. It's one of those things that I believe you kind of have or you don't. Maybe you can get slightly better at it. But some guys seem to have really good poise in the pocket. Tom Brady, to me, is the best at it. He can just take one little step to the side. Like, he knows when to take just one step to the side, doesn't panic, and bounce out of there quickly. Other guys, they feel somebody who's not even really close to them, and they run out of the pocket, and they're not focused down the field. Heinicke looks like he's focused down the field all the time in that small sample size. In the game before that, he threw for 137 yards and a touchdown, had a quarterback rating of 102 when he filled in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm kind of on EB's side of this, that he may be a gamer type. Like, you got to see him in the game versus just drills. Now, they're running now offense, defense. And he's working with the twos. I know you're saying that Trey Lance is working with the twos. Heineke's working with the twos. I want to see what happens in the preseason
games. To make a real determination on him, I just need to see more. I need more volume. I need more sample size. It's impossible to really forecast what he's going to be until I see, and this may be an impossibility, it may never happen. I need 16 regular season games.
That's not going to happen.
That might never happen with him because he might just always be a backup.
It probably will never happen.
So it's a pipe dream.
But the question is he good enough to be knocking on the door that if Fitz struggles early and the team struggles early, my 1-3 scenario, Fitz, let's give him 4 touchdowns and 4 picks first 4 weeks. Not horrific, but not great.
And
but they're struggling 1-3.
And then they're 1-3.
If Heinicke's knocking on the door, or maybe even outshining him in training camp, I would think that he might have a chance to replace him early. Now, if he's not shining in training camp, then he's just going to sit on the bench all season.
Right. That gives Fitz even more rope.
I think if Kyle Allen was 100% healthy, Kyle Allen would be the true number two. Without question. And I chalk a lot of what he did in that game against Tampa up to, and he played well. All right, I'm not taking anything away from how he played in the game, but I'm chalking that up to the Bucs defensive coaches, and they look a lot of film. They just didn't know who he was.
Well, also, remember,
and
there was a chance Alex Smith might start.
Correct.
That week.
They just didn't know who he was. They didn't know his strengths and weaknesses. If you put him on film and you study, really study his skill set, and if they had a couple weeks to study him, I think that they probably would have shut him down.
But he made some throws in that game.
He did, and he was on fire. He was in a zone. There was no pressure on him. He was playing loosey-goosey, and he was awesome. And, of course, the fact that he could run a little bit helps. But I chalk a lot of that up to Tampa defensive staff just didn't know him.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines. What do you make of this? Look, it's very early in camp. They just got into pads. But early word is that Heinicke certainly hasn't been outshining Fitz, and he would have had to do that to win the job. He would have had to lap the field.
Well, it's just not going to happen because Fitz is the starter, and he's clearly the backup. No matter what Ron says about an open competition, Fitz is your number one, unless he struggles mightily in training camp and in the preseason games.
Right? There's no way Fitz is going to struggle mightily in training camp.
You wouldn't think.
He's been in too many of them.
Right. Go to Anthony in D.C. Anthony, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Yes, sir. How y'all? How you guys doing? I watch, listen to you guys every day.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling,
Anthony.
Appreciate
that.
What's up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So for Heinicke, I believe it's training camp now. He's a quality backup. Fitz is the starter, no doubt. But, I mean, training camp, I feel like you could take that with a grain of salt. I mean, it's training camp. That's what it's for. You're supposed to struggle. If you're not struggling, you're not learning. You know what I mean? So I feel like he is a gamer where put him in game time situations, he'll probably perform.
That's
so how much rope, let's just assume Fitzpatrick is the starter. How much rope do you give him if they struggle, or do you want Heinicke to have a shot to start in game one?
I would give Fitz the whole season. I mean, I'm going to say 10 games because in Scott Turner's offense, it's quarterback friendly. So I don't see Fitz struggling that bad. You know what I mean? So,
all right. Thanks for the call, bud.
I see no scenario where Fitz doesn't start week one, barring injury.
Yeah, it's not
going to
happen.
It is not going to happen.
Correct. Anybody who thinks otherwise, you're just delusional.
Yeah.
You're just not going to see.
You've had a break with reality.
And now if you do see Fitz struggle in that first month and they're 1-3, okay, that's a different story. I still put Kyle Allen in the mix. But you're not going to see Fitz outshined by Taylor in week one. You're just not going to see it.
I would be stunned if that happened.
You're just not going to see it. It's impossible.
Yeah, it's like seeing Bigfoot.
Correct.
It's like seeing Haley's Comet. It's like, you're not supposed to see
it. It's like winning the Powerball. This is not
going to
happen.
It's not going to happen.
You're not
going to
win the Powerball this week. You're not going to see Heinicke beat up Fitz.
Let's go to Drew in D.C. What's up, Drew? You're all in the Jux. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What's happening?
What's up, bro?
I might contradict myself when I say this because I see the Skins really going 12-5. But yet, I don't see Heinicke starting. I see Fitz starting because he understands his role. So everybody knows it's his job to lose. You know, he's basically already the starter. But the reason why I say I'm pulling for Heinicke, these guys, you know, they know this offense. So I think as far as him throwing, like, the interceptions and stuff like that, I think it's about them being on the same page because they really don't have a full squad, working with a full squad yet. Man, he knows the offense. I think it's all about timing. And he's perfect for what the game is now. The game is for a mobile quarterback. So I see him, you know, being in by game 4-5. Yeah.
So he – all right, hold on. So Drew thinks that they will go 12-5 and Heinicke will be in by week 4 or 5?
I believe that's what he's going with.
So he's
going to
play 13 weeks and they're still going to go 12-5?
Apparently he's a big Heinicke guy.
Yeah. Okay.
He's very bullish on that Taylor Heinicke.
Hey, look, I asked listeners. I said,
you
if you really feel Heinicke's the guy, call us.
Well, that would be quite the window of opportunity for Taylor Heinicke.
Well played.
Thompson Creek windows and doors keep the heat out and the cool AC and savings in. Now during their sizzling summer sale, you can buy one window and get one 40% off, including expert installation for a limited time only. Plus, no interest until 2023. Thompson Creek designs, builds, and installs their windows direct from their local factory with no supply chain delays like the competition, so you get them right away and no middleman markup either. Call Thompson Creek today at 855-57-CREEK or visit thompsoncreek.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thanks again to the University of Maryland football staff for having me out to the preseason barbecue at Coach Loxley's house last night. I know that Valdez was slightly disappointed that I didn't actually bring a plate of the food from the barbecue.
I thought you were going to bring me leftovers.
He wanted to rate the plate and then eat the leftovers, but I just thought that would have been weird.
Rate the plate, eat the meat.
Rate the plate, eat the meat, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would have been weird if I had made a plate for myself, and then I'm going to go back and make a full plate.
Hold on.
And let it sit there for like 2 hours, and then I'm going to walk out with it at the end?
No, that's standard at a cookout, I feel
it
like.
It is?
Yes, take a to-go plate, wrap the top in foil.
It's standard at a catered cookout or barbecue.
It's any kind of cookout or barbecue.
To take a full plate out.
Yeah, take a to-go plate.
That's really that's a common thing?
I think pretty sure that's common.
It's common.
I don't think I've ever done it, but I could see if you went to a cookout with your buddies hosting.
Yeah.
But this was Loxley.
Yeah, this is a little different.
Media members. He doesn't know any of these people.
Yeah. I would have felt weird.
I mean, it would have been funny.
It's a lot. Coach G took a to-go plate.
I'm sure he did.
But. Now, I left before him. I can't speak to what Coach G did as far as to-go plates.
Where were you on the list of people leaving the party?
I think I was about in the middle. I left it a little bit after 9, and the place had filtered out about halfway when I left.
You were there
roughly.
You were there for 2.5 hours, had one margarita.
Had one marg, and I'll be fully honest.
Did they have beer?
They had beer.
I'm stunned you didn't go for beer.
Well, it's an open bar. I just felt like, I drink beer all the time.
And you're poolside.
I'm poolside. I was feeling a little tropical.
Were people sitting around the pool?
They were not.
You're nearby Olney, Maryland, tropical.
Yeah, but I was like, this beautiful pool. We got a bunch of chairs. People were not sitting in those chairs.
It's a $2 million house.
People were milling around in the covered tent area where the tables were.
Cakes thought it was in Boca Raton.
I think the bartender was a little heavy on the tequila pour on the one marg, because I've got, it's not a hangover, but I got a slight little twinge in my head today that I generally wouldn't have, because I'm a lightweight.
Well, you're also not used to drinking tequila.
I'm not used to drinking tequila, that's true. And it was one drink, because I'm old, and I'm fading. I'm fading over here.
Yeah, I get it.
That's what I'm telling you.
But it would have been awkward asking for the plate of food and putting some tin foil over it and walking out of the property.
It's
partially on Cakes, but it's also partially on Loxley, because I feel like to be a good host, you have to say, does anyone want a to-go plate?
Hold on. Let's pump the brakes. Coach Loxley and his wife were very gracious hosts.
They're great hosts, but
it would have put it over the edge
by saying, does anyone want a to-go plate?
By the way,
I can pile on some potato salad hot dogs.
Some symmetry between Coach Loxley and his wife and mine. They both met at Towson, just like we did.
Ah.
And we're both accomplished football coaches.
Correct.
Well, one much more.
You're almost there.
One much more accomplished than the other, obviously.
Did you ever notch one win?
Again, my career as a football coach was one season, and we were basically the Bad News Bears going up against a borderline like pro squad every week. There were two teams in the league, the Bad News Bears and the pro squad. We gave them a good game, one game, I believe, out of four. Didn't notch any W's.
Well,
I did what I could.
I'm glad that you went.
I'm glad that I went.
I'm actually very glad that you went.
I
pondered it for about 13 seconds and decided I'm not going to go to Maryland on a random Tuesday and battle the Beltway at 6:30. But I'm glad you went.
I don't think I ever saw the invite. And usually we get like those mass emails.
Yeah, they don't get sized for you.
Yeah. It might have been the week that I was on vacation.
That was intentional.
Yeah. And now I'm glad that Drabby has me in the market for Coach Loxley's house at some point down the line.
Yeah.
Won't be long.
Because you're going to need a 6,000 square foot house with a pool on 9 acres.
For all his grandkids.
You're going to need that. So.
Have I mentioned that it was a beautiful property?
Yeah, you did mention that.
Beautiful.
Well, if you were making $2.5 million a year, you'd probably have that property too.
You're correct. Which means the takeaway is we're not each making $2.5 million per year.
No, we're not.
For those listeners,
we're also not making it divided by four.
That might think that we're in that sort of that sort of pay stratosphere. We are not.
Correct.
Just to let everybody know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of money, do you like money?
What do you think?
Well, you're going to be bitter when I go through this real quick.
I am.
Right, so two years.
Does it affect me personally?
Yeah,
or
it does.
It does?
Yeah, and I'm very upset about it.
Okay.
Because I just don't like to lose money. And
I don't like to lose
wagers.
Right.
And 2 years ago, you and I did the baseball season win total plays, and we went 9-0.
We did, yes. Nine and zero.
I can't remember what we clocked on that. Was it about $300 each?
Probably.
Wasn't there a tout you listened to, though, that you followed one time and you went in the toilet with those picks?
Going in the toilet is extreme, JP. I would say maybe like hovered around 500-ish. Would you consider that being
I would love to be 500 on this year's season win total plays, but this is what we're looking at. Okay.
Do we have any sort of, is there a contract? Is there a written contract where I'm obligated?
Well, you've said verbally on air, you said, I'll chop whatever you want.
That is true. I am complicit.
So I've got the evidence. But we put $80 on the Nats over 84 wins. That obviously is not going to happen.
Okay.
That's 0-1. We put $70 on the Twins over 89.5. That's not going to happen. They're not even close. They're last in their division.
Okay.
We put $60 on the Rockies under 65 wins. They've got to go 19-36 the rest of the way for us to lose.
Is that doable? That's dicey.
I mean, they're 13 games under 500 now. They'd have to be 19-36. So it's doable, but probably not going to happen.
So what you're telling me,
that's 0-3.
I should be rooting against the stupid Rockies every night.
Every night.
Got it.
We put $70 on the Rays under 86. They're probably going to win the division. We're going to lose that. 0-4. We put $80 on the Dodgers over 103.5 wins. They're struggling. I mean, they've got to go 40-14 the rest of the way.
That's
0-5. Okay. We put $60 on the Cubs over 78.5. They gave up their entire team. That's 0-6.
So we're looking at taking the collar here.
This is the only one I think we might win. We got $70 on the White Sox over 90.5 wins.
With that fossil La Russa coaching
La Russa
them,
might
first
save
place.
They're 20 games above 500. We got a shot with the White Sox over 90 wins.
Good Lord.
So I'm going to put a question mark there. We've got $45 on Oakland under 86.5. They're 16-48. I mean, they're going to be right around that number. Let's just call it a loss.
I'm not feeling very good
And this is the biggest loser on the board. We have $50 on the Yankees over 95 wins.
Impossible.
They suck.
Wow.
We're going to go maybe 1-8.
Well, you know what that tells me.
And we're going to. I'm bitter.
So how much am I?
I got to ship Charlie books.
How much am I in for, roughly?
50%.
Okay, but well, like roughly.
Couple
how
hundred bucks.
$250, $300, roughly.
He's got to add up 45 in there. He's got
130. It's 150. It's 280.
Here's what we're going to do, Ricky.
Yeah.
We're going to take our losses, okay, and we're going to double down on NFL season win totals, okay? We are not giving up
shit yet.
Hey,
you guys should bet every team.
You're right. We probably should.
Why don't you do $50 on every team?
All right, we're roughly in for $500.
You think I won't do it?
I'm not doing every team. No.
Come on! Let's do this!
That's what Charlie Books wants us to do.
You can do it on your own.
No,
BetMGM cakes.
No, I need a partner in crime.
They are the king of sports books.
They are the king of sports books, and maybe I'll do it through them. But I need a partner in crime.
What is the over under on Texans wins?
Four
and a half.
Yeah, it's got to be low.
It's like right there with Detroit.
Our pal Mike Florey just put up an article about Deshaun Watson and David Culley, who's the new head coach, saying that Watson's not doing Culley any favors. Now we don't know why. But it was their first padded practice of training camp, and Watson was a no-go. And
was he in practice before, though? Was he just doing drills?
And when asked about it, Coley, bit of a donk, said, well, as I stand before, not as I stand before you, because as I stand before, we're day-to-day with it. The only thing that's changed from the standpoint of that is we make decisions every day based on what's best for our football team, and I'm going to leave it at that. So then they follow up, and they go, well, can you tell us why he wasn't at practice? Again, I'm going to leave it at that.
Man, I didn't think they could do worse than Bill O'Brien. Apparently they have.
Maybe he's got a little nagging injury.
Well, why wouldn't he say that?
I don't know.
Maybe if he has an injury, you can say.
I don't think every coach is forthcoming when it comes to injuries. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Or maybe they're desperate to trade him, and they're trying to keep him off the field.
Or maybe he read the news about what the massage therapist said he was into.
Wow, that's shocking news.
The famous Amos.
They don't want him touching the football. Yeah.
It's all about
All right, we got to get out of here. B. Mitch and Finley up next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.